Well, we're going to pick up in the Gospel of Matthew tonight. Matthew chapter 18 tonight. And have you ever found it hard to forgive? How about to forgive certain people? I mean, the pain and the hurt is so great that maybe it's just you can't forgive them. Maybe it's they really hurt me. That really hurt, or if I forgive them, I'm going to be giving them the right to do that again to me. Or I don't want to dig up the past, so I'm just going to not rock the boat here. Or once I forgive them, won't I lose what I have over them? We have all these different excuses as to why we don't want to forgive. And no matter what our reason, we hold on to unforgiveness a lot of times. Even though the Bible says not to. We hold on to that. Whether it was an enemy or a friend or even a family member that hurt us and caused us so much pain, it doesn't change the fact that the Bible says that we are to forgive. And that's what we're going to be talking about tonight, forgiving. As God has forgiven us, we are to forgive one another. But what does it say of us when we are unwilling to forgive? Or unable to forgive. I mean, there are times where I've had times in my past, I'll admit, where I felt unable to forgive a certain person because of the hurt or the pain. And so what does it say of me? What does it say of my belief in Jesus and my belief in God when I am unwilling or unable to forgive? If you're anything like me, there's a lot of times where we have to choose forgiveness. And it's a choice we have to make, right? I'm going to throw him under the bus because he chose not to be here tonight. But I love motorcycles. So I've been building this motorcycle. I got it all finished. I took some pictures of it. I was really pleased with how it turned out. And this young man I know said, "Can I take it around the block?" And I'm like, "Sure, go ahead. Here's the key." He got about 2 blocks away and spilled it, and luckily he's alive. And but I had to learn that lesson of forgiving, because he just destroyed a year's worth of work and all this labor I put into this bike and everything. And so it was one of those deals where they call me up and they're like, "Come down the street, he wrecked the bike." And I'm like, "Lord, I know I'm gonna have to forgive him when I get down there." So but it's like, you know what you're supposed to do, right? You know the Bible says we're supposed to forgive. But in those times, it's like, but that was a really nice bike. That really cost me a lot. And so forgiveness, sometimes it comes easy. It's like I heard a guy one time say, you know, I think he was like 56 at the time. He goes, "You know, I'm 56. I don't care what people say about me. You know, I'm too old to worry about what people think or whatever." And I was like, that's a great attitude to have, especially when it comes to when people talk about you behind your back and stuff. Don't just water off duck's back, you know? And there's times when we're able to do that, right? And then there's other times where it's hard. About 12 years ago, I was working at a church, and this one board member was trying to get me fired. I was not a yes man for him. He was very wealthy, very affluent, and so he expected everybody to just drop what they do and do stuff. And I wasn't that way with him, and so he was trying to get me fired. But to my face, he'd be like, "Oh no, we're good. You and me, yeah, we're good. I love the job you do." And then he'd turn around and talk about me behind my back, or he'd say something, or he'd do something to try to get me fired. And what hurt wasn't that he was trying to get me fired. What hurt was that he'd lie into my face. And I'll be honest with you guys, it took me about 10 years to get to the point where I could say, you know what, if he walked in this building today, I'd go up and shake his hand and tell him hi. Before then, I'd probably turn around and walk away, you know, or whatever. Just I found it hard to forgive him, because right to my face he lied to me. And after moving on from that job, I kind of felt like I had come to a place where I could finally forgive him. And I did. And Dennis has something.
You talk about forgiveness, yeah, about the motorcycles.
Yeah. No. No. Yeah, you can't. I mean, if somebody's physically abusing you, you can, with the power of Jesus, forgive them. With God working through your life, you can't forgive them. You can't let them continue that, though. You have to break ties or whatever. But for me and that guy, yes, it was continual for almost a year that went on. And it was hard for me to forgive him. But then I came to realize, I met up with him one day. I saw him one day, and he acted like nothing had ever happened. And I realized at that point, God was like, he didn't even know that he offended you. It hasn't been bothering him. It's been bothering you. And so I'm like, you know, and as a pastor, I'm supposed to know all these Bible verses about this stuff. You know, I'm supposed to, you know, we need to forgive, you know, and all that. But there's times where I even struggle with forgiveness. There's times where I struggle with not being able to forgive. And then God has to remind me of what he has forgiven me of. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. So tonight we're going to be in Matthew chapter 18, and we're going to start with verse 15. So Matthew 18, 15. If your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. So Jesus, teaching his disciples, said, if a fellow believer, he's talking about fellow Christians, fellow believers, if a fellow believer sins against you, yeah, I mean, yeah, if we see somebody in sin, we're supposed to go correct them. But what Jesus is talking about here is if they're sinning against you, if it's the offenses against you, go to them. Go to them. We don't like this, do we? We don't like confrontation. No, but Jesus says, go to them. If they listen or if they acknowledge the wrong they've done, then you've won them over or you've avoided a loss. When somebody hurts us or sins against us, it causes us pain, right? Jesus said, go to that person. Talk to them. The last thing we want to do is go talk to them. We want to wallow in our pain, don't we? We want to sit there and, oh, what they did to me. I know, maybe it's just me. I'm getting kind of strange looks here. But we want to sit there and feel like the victim sometimes. But Jesus says, go to that person. And he's giving this almost as an urgency. Go to that person. Go to that person. Talk to them. And if they listen, you've avoided a loss. Jesus isn't giving us a good life hack here or practical relationship advice. He tells us to make every attempt to heal broken relationships because it's what's best for us. It glorifies God. Why do relationships, especially in the Bible, in the body, glorify God? Because we're all supposed to be the body of Christ. And if we can't be the body of Christ if we're all nitpicking at each other and arguing with each other and broken relationships. And so it brings God glory when we're in one accord with one another. It brings God glory when we are not angry at somebody or hurt by somebody. You know, so Jesus says, go to that. There's a sense of urgency in this command. Jesus says, go. You know, it's not like, okay, wait a couple weeks till you feel better. Then go. No, it was go. Even psychiatrists, and doctors will tell us that holding on to unforgiveness is not healthy for us. In fact, there's a famous quote that says, unforgiveness or not forgiving someone is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. And that's really what it's like, because sometimes they don't even know they offended you. Sometimes they don't even know they were in the wrong. Sometimes they don't even remember, especially if you let it go on for years, especially if it's something that's not addressed. But when we hold on to unforgiveness, we are the ones who suffer. It's us. So Jesus isn't just giving us good practical advice. It's for our own good that we go and ask for forgiveness or that we forgive them. There is a difference there. Jesus is telling us to go to them, but what if you can't? What if that person's long gone? What if that person moved away? If you're holding on to that unforgiveness, then that's on you. It's only affecting you. You have to forgive. We're told to forgive. And sometimes, I've had to learn this in my own life with that one guy, I had to forgive him in my heart and be like, I'm not going to hold this against him anymore. In fact, this word to forgive in the Greek, it means to let go or to push off. Like they in the Old Testament, they had a sacrifice that they would send off. Yeah, they would send it away. And it was, that's what this word to forgive means, that we're sending this away, that we're not holding on to this. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. The book of Job. I love the book of Job. It's my favorite book. It's almost 40 chapters of Job complaining to God. And his friends telling him, oh, it's your fault. You did this, you did that. But Job complains to God. God never fries him. In fact, God tells his friends, you need to act more like Job at the end. But here's the deal. He went to God. He took his frustrations to God. And, you know, if we have somebody that we cannot forgive, and we take that frustration to God and allow God to work on our heart, like she said, God will help us. We can't do it on our own. God will help us. Yes.
Yeah, take your frustration to God, not to somebody else.
Yeah. That's called gossip. Yep.
Don't do that. Take your frustration to God. I get frustrated too. I go to God with my problems. And a lot of times he speaks directly to me to deal with it. But don't go to the body and try to divide.
No. Oh, yeah.
And he can even take a bad situation and turn it around.
Yeah.
Bad up, good
out. Yeah, unforgiveness will cause a loss. And that's what Jesus is, the whole point is reconciliation. And we know this. We lose friends, we lose family over offenses. We all know someone who hasn't talked with a parent or a sibling or a child or another relative for years. We all know somebody like that. It may be us here tonight. My family, my dad's side of the family is really weird. And maybe it's not so weird. I'm starting to find out. I used to remember as a kid, oh, we're not going over to Aunt So-and-so's house because she's mad at the whole family right now, so nobody's talking to her. We aren't talking to her. I'm like, okay, what'd she do to us? Nothing. But they're mad at her, so we need to be mad at her. And it was like that. And it's like, and it's funny because the older I get, the more I see it. It skips around. Oh, yeah, we're all mad at Uncle So-and-so right now. I'm like, this is so petty. But it always causes a loss in a relationship and stuff. I've got family that won't talk to me because of my belief in God. And I try. I can make it every attempt. But I cannot hold that against them. I can just pray for them. But we've all given up on friendships because of offenses. We've all been offended at times. We've all been hurt. And Jesus tells us to go with the intention of restoration. Jesus says, if they don't want to listen, take two or three people with you. Some accountability, some witnesses. So that, you know, but if they still don't want to listen, go to the church. Now, Jesus is primarily speaking about Christians here, but what if they're not a Christian? Dennis. Not walking as one, yeah.
Yeah, not walking as one, but
yeah.
Practicing.
Yeah.
Because God tells us to, you know, forgive each other,
yeah.
Forgive each other, have a compassion for each other. But if you can't have to do that,
yeah.
You get divorced, somebody wasn't practicing.
Yeah. So what happens when we're dealing with non-Christians? Jesus' command to go still stands. Go to that person. Yeah, because what's the greatest command was to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. The second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. So if they're a non-believer and they hurt you, they offend you, Jesus' command to go is still there. Because there's still a loss that could be avoided. You don't know, but maybe that person needed that seed planted. Maybe that person needed to understand that you've forgiven them for something, to understand God's forgiveness for them. I mean, God works in mysterious ways. So, in the book of Ephesians, Paul says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as Christ forgave you. And so this is a command to be forgiving. Now, this is hard for us. It's hard on us. We don't like to forgive. Yes?
If you have a real relationship with Jesus Christ, you cannot not forgive.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to get to that verse where he says you can't not forgive. Our job is to forgive, seek restoration, let God handle the rest. There's a verse in the Bible that says that we should leave wrath and all that to God. Let him handle it. That's not against us. Sin is ultimately against God. And let him deal with it. Then if we skip down a few verses, we're going to skip a few verses here. We're going to go to verse 21. And we see Peter stuck on this whole idea of forgiving. And then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you not seven times, but 77 times. Peter, I don't know whether he's trying to be the bigger person or kind of look more self-righteous than the other disciples, said, Jesus, how many times do I need to forgive this person? Seven? I think seven's a good number, don't you? Seven. And Jesus says, in this translation, 77 times. Some translations say 70 times seven. So the whole idea here is that you've lost count of how many times you've forgiven them. We're to be forgiving, as Paul says, forgiving each other just as we have been forgiven. How many times has God forgiven me? More than I can count. How many times has God forgiven you? More, every time, more than we can count. And so this is what Jesus is talking about. We are to forgive. Stop counting. Stop keeping track. It's not up to us. Our part is to forgive. God's part is to judge sin. Okay? The idea here is that God wants us to be forgiving people. He wants us to let these offenses go and be quick to forgive when others wrong us, because this is how God is with us. Verse 23, he continues, therefore the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Verse 25, since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees, sound familiar, begged him, be patient with me, I'll pay it back. Sounds really familiar, right? But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown in prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all that he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Jesus tells the story of a man who owed a lot of money, a great debt. Some estimates are $3 million. Some estimates are $3 billion. I saw one estimate that said it was 10,000 shekels or 10,000 bags of shekels. A bag of shekels was 20 years worth of wages. So that's like 200,000 years that he'd have to pay back. There's no way he could have paid it back. You're starting to see an idea form here. There's no way he could have paid that debt back, and it was canceled for him. The servant realizes he can't pay his debt, so he begs the master, please give me time, please. And the master takes pity on him, cancels the unpayable debt. And then the servant goes out, and for a guy that owed him pennies compared to what he owed, throws him in jail, chokes him, gets mad at him. Unforgiving. And you know, if you've been in church any amount of time, that this story is about God and how he views us and how he has pity on us for the great debt we owe. And that if he has forgiven us as much as he has, then we should be able to forgive others when they wrong us. And if we don't realize how great a debt we owe and how much has been forgiven, then maybe we need to look at I like to refer to the Romans Road. It's the wages of sin is death, or the payment for your sin is death. Now, who gets to say it's death? Every sin is against God. And so in Genesis 2 and 3, God says the payment for sin is death. And so that's a debt none of us can pay. I don't know about you, but I can't just go out and find a body and hand it over to God and say, here, there, my debt's paid. I can't do that. In fact, the body would not be a perfect person, so that won't repay the debt anyway. Jesus gave his life for us so that to pay that debt that we could not pay. We owed 200,000 years of wages. There's no way any of us could live long enough to pay that debt back. And in this passage, as well as Matthew 6, Jesus says, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your heavenly Father will not forgive you. This is not an implication that, if you forgive somebody, you're okay with God. No, this is an indication of the condition of our heart. Because if we cannot forgive, if we are the person that holds on to unforgiveness, it shows that we have not fully come to realize or know the forgiveness and the salvation that God offers us. It's an indication of our heart and where our heart is if we cannot forgive. Paul tells us the wages of sin and death is death. And the great cost that it cost God to forgive us, to save us. And yet, we turn around like that servant, and we run over to somebody who owes us, and we choke them, we yell at them, we're angry with them, we're harboring hatred towards them. And yet, what they did to us doesn't even compare. Now, I understand that there's people in this room that have had horrific things happen to them. I understand that there are evil people who have done horrible stuff to us. I'm not trying to make light of that tonight. But what I'm saying is we are to, through the power of God, through the strength Jesus offers, forgive them for our benefit, for our good. We don't need to carry that with us through life. Because I'll be honest with you, there's a young man that I've been ministering to, and his dad did some horrible things to him when he was a child. And he says, I can't forgive him. And I looked at him and I said, I don't even think your dad knows what he did to you or remembers. And he goes, why do you say that? I said, because you said he was drunk. He probably doesn't even know that you're hurt, that you're carrying this with you in your life. And he was shocked. He said, well, he has to know what he did to me. I said, I doubt it. Most times when a person offends you, if I've offended you, I was in the office today, and I was busy picking up a box, and I was moving some papers off of it, and the lady in the office, there was a lady in there, and she said, fine, don't talk to me. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, I thought you were talking to her. I wasn't paying attention. I was trying to stay out of your conversation. And she's like, oh, it's okay. But if I've offended you, come to me. I'm sorry, I don't mean to. You know, I get I'm the type of person, I get really distracted, and I could walk across the foyer and not hear my name being called, not hear people yelling at me. People stick out their hand to shake my hand or something, and I'm oblivious to it sometimes. And so if I've offended you, come to me. If you've offended me and I come to you, it's because I want to restore a friendship. I want to restore a relationship. This is what God wants for us. Sometimes we're scared to go to them people. Like this young man, he did tell me later he's scared to go talk to his dad about what happened. And I said, well, you know, if you're a Christian, because I don't believe he is yet, I said, if you're a Christian, you would know that Jesus said, don't be afraid of those who can only kill the body. Be afraid. They cannot touch your soul. Fear only God who can destroy both body and soul in hell. I said, and God tells us to forgive. So he's the one we should be listening to, not our fear of man. And he's like, okay, we're done for now. I don't want to deal with this anymore. So, but if you guys would pray for him. If you want his name, I'll tell you later, not on the microphone. But he's a young man. He's searching, desperately searching for God. Or desperately searching. He doesn't know he's searching what he's searching for, but he desperately needs God. And there's three young men that God has brought into my circle of influence that are all about the same. And they're all searching for something. And they all are harboring unforgiveness, and it's eating them alive. They all have problems with their parents, and they're all harboring stuff. One of them had a friend commit suicide over the phone, and he's blaming God for that. And he's holding unforgiveness towards God for that. And it's eating him alive. And he's not moving on with his life. And so I see the practical ramifications of holding on to unforgiveness. I tell the boys and I tell my kids and my wife, and they all know I'm a pretty forgiving guy. You wrecked the bike. Well, we'll fix it, okay? After I calm down a little. I'm a little reactionary sometimes, but you know, after that. But I'm pretty forgiving. But so to watch some of these guys go through this, because I haven't experienced that, and because I could never imagine the pain that they feel, the hurt that they feel, it's been eye-opening. And this is why this has been on my heart lately, because I've been going through this with these young men, trying to help them walk through this and help them point them to Jesus and stuff, because there is no other answer. Paul, to a hurting church, this church is going through persecution, through hardship, and he says, the most important thing I could ever speak to you is that Jesus died for our sins. He doesn't come to them and say, okay, here's a 10-step program on how to get out of alcohol. Here's three steps to a better life. Here's, you know, your best life now, whatever. He doesn't do that. He says, you need to know that Jesus died for your sins, and that's it. That's the most important thing. And so if Paul felt that that was the most important thing, then we too should be like, okay, no matter what's happened, no matter what is come in my life, the most important thing that I need to know is that Jesus died for my sins. Because ultimately, it's God who controls the destiny of my soul. And like I said, I don't want to make light of anything you may have gone through in this life or anything. I know a lot of really bad things have happened, but Jesus tells another story, demonstrating God's love for each and every one of us. And I want you to hear this, because this is God's love for you as well. Because the Romans wrote again, we've all sinned against God. All of us have fallen short, okay? So we've all sinned against God, like in this story. Luke 15, Jesus says, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up, went to his father. But while he was still a long way off. His father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. This is what God does for each and every one of us. This is the compassion that God has on each and every one of us, no matter what we've gone through. This is why Christ died for us. Because God loves us. He's waiting for us. He's there, arms open wide. He's going to throw a party, kill the fatted calf for this son. The son basically slapped him in the face. I was telling one of the boys this story, you know, and I said, did you know that the reason why the dad ran up and hugged him and put his arms around him is because all the neighbors were ready to stone him for what he'd done. In that time, in that place, he deserved death for the way he treated his father. He was going to be stoned to death for his actions.
Yeah, in that story, people don't understand. It was the youngest son. He was owed nothing.
Yeah.
The oldest son got as much, but they could leave a little to the son. But basically, the youngest son said, I wish you were dead. I just want the money.
Yep.
So it was a complete rejection of his father.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's how we were before we brought Christ in our
life. Yes. Arms wide open, accepted him back. And it's interesting because Jesus says, no longer do I call you servants, but I call you son, brother. God does the same thing for us. And so if God is willing to do that for us, when we, like the son, have rejected him, have turned aside, have pushed away, said, I wished you were dead, wished you were gone out of my life. When God is willing to do that for us, ultimately, what does it cost us to forgive somebody? There's a lot of hurt. There's a lot of pain. There's a lot of anger. But ultimately, in this life, we've only got a couple years. And really, when we're dead and in the grave, you know, 10 years, 20 years after you're gone, your grave will probably remain unattended. 100 years after you're gone, your grave will probably be washed over. What did it matter that you held on to unforgiveness? It only hurts us. And Jesus says the better way is to forgive. And I don't want to beat you up here. I know it's hard to forgive. The hurt, the pain, the unforgiveness, that's between you and God. My job as a pastor is to tell you what God's word says. And God says that we are to forgive. Why are we to forgive? Because he has forgiven us. And there's a verse in the Bible where God says, be holy, for I am holy. He wants us to be like him. The original intent was that we were his image bearers. And we can bear his image by forgiving one another here tonight. I love it. John gets to record our future for us. And in Revelation 20, he says, 21, he says, I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them. They will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. And the one sitting on the throne said, look, I am making everything new. So the pain that we hold on to, the unforgiveness that we hold on to, God's going to take that away someday. There is a future. There is a hope. And if you're holding on, if there's something that you're finding you can't let go, give it to God. Lay it at his feet. And trust that he's in control. Trust that he will deal with it. Because it's only hurting us to hold on to it. It's only bothering us. We're the ones not moving forward. And God says, I'm coming to make my home with you guys. I'm coming. I'm going to take away all your sorrow, all your pain, all your troubles. I'm taking it all away because I want to be your God. And you can be my people. I'm making everything new. So all the hurt, all the pain that has happened to us in our lives, all the things that have caused us to hold on to anger and hostility towards other people, God's going to make that all brand new. He's going to make us all brand new. We're getting new bodies. We're getting new. He's going to put his spirit in us. And we're going to know him as we know one another here. We're going to be able to fellowship with God one day.
Amen.
And you know, I bet that you won't even remember the hurt that happened to you. You know, I there's a song I love. It's the chorus. In the chorus it says, "One day I will be standing there with the saints of old, shoulder to shoulder." And that song hit me. And I was going through a time where I hadn't dealt with some unforgiveness and stuff like that. And God's just putting all this together for me to remind me of this stuff. But I thought at the time, standing shoulder to shoulder, I don't deserve to stand shoulder to shoulder with Paul or John. And God said, "No, you deserve to be right up front with me sitting on my lap." And I was like, I can't believe the love God has for me. And so if he loved me this much, and all he asks is that I love him in return and love his people, that's nothing to ask for. Amen?
Amen.
So be encouraged. If there's pain, if there's hurt, if there's sorrow, God knows. And he's got something better in store for you.
Yes.
It's not going to be forever. It's for a season. So we're going to get out of here a few minutes early tonight. Let's pray. And if you need prayer or anything, I'm here, Dwayne's here, Tracy's here. I see prayer warriors here. I know you guys. So if you guys need prayer here tonight, let's pray for one another. Let's lift one another up. But be encouraged. There's something far better on the horizon.
Amen?
Amen? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you, Lord. We pray that you would help us to forgive quickly, even the little offenses, Lord. Let nothing come between this body, Lord. Let nothing come between those of us in this room and the people that are in our circles, Lord. We pray that you would restore friendships, restore families, restore fellowship, Lord. We pray that you would mend broken relationships. Lord, we pray that we would have the strength by your Spirit to be forgiving people as you've asked us to be. Lord, as we walk out of this place, if there's somebody on our mind that we need to forgive, Lord, I pray that you would bring them to our mind, that you would bring them to our recollection so that we can walk in forgiveness. And Lord, we thank you for the forgiveness that you have so graciously offered us, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the work you've done in our lives. We thank you for saving us from what we could have been. Lord, we just give up this night to you, Lord. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.